how great thou art indeed. Thank you, Shelby. Brothers, I would like to welcome this evening to the house of the Lord. And we come here to worship and to praise and to honor Him, our Lord. I hope that you were here this morning. You got to hear our brother Joe bring that message he brought. Fascinating stuff he brought about the traditions and whatnot of the Jewish people. And I suggest if you didn't get to hear him, you need to get a hold of that tape and listen to that. We look forward this evening to what the Lord has brought for our brother Harold to share with us. And so I ask that you would hold him up in your prayers, that he might have that strength from our Lord that will allow him to share the things that are upon his heart. So let's share a call to worship this evening out of Revelations. And it was started searching for hymns. In the process of finding search for hymns, I found this revelation, or this reading in Revelation for the call to worship. And I want you to kind of think on these words and think how glorious this is going to be when this comes to pass. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And he is clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth proceeded the word of God, and with it he will smite the nations, and he will rule them with the word of his mouth. And he treaded the winepress in the fierceness and wrath of his almighty God. And he hath on a vesture, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And don't we wait for him to come. We'll continue now with the singing of hymn number 208.
Thank you. Our Father, we thank you this evening and be able to come and worship you and ask that you, thy Spirit might be with us even in this hour as Dan presides and even more so as Harold gives those words which you have had him prepare, that he might, those words might lie in our minds and our hearts to both benefit both soul and body here, all those that are here this evening, that we might continue to learn and grow closer to thee. And I ask thee in thy most holy name, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
I have chosen tonight from the second book of Nephi, the sixth chapter, beginning with the 81st verse. Behold, the way of man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him, and the keeper of that gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. And whoso knocketh, to him will he open. And the wise and the learned, and they that are rich, who are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches, yea, they are they whom he despiseth. And save they shall cast these things away, and consider themselves fools before God, and come down into the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. May he add his blessing on the reading of his word.
We'll continue now to sing of hymn 297, 297. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure and a humbling experience to stand in this stead, in this particular spot. I'd much rather be sitting among you. But so be it. The Lord has called me to do this, so I am, with his help, I'm hoping that he will magnify my efforts. I thought for some time and considered what I might bring tonight, and my thoughts kept being directed over and over to this one topic and theme. And that was the topic or thought of change and how it affects us in our daily life and how it will affect us throughout life. Change is very evident in every aspect of our daily life and often creates great concern and stirs your emotions greatly at times. Change affects how we live, how we think, how we worship, our beliefs, how we interact and treat others, and our health even can be at risk, just to name a few. It is constantly with us and will remain, it seems, and it has great influence on our well-being, physically and I believe spiritually as well, I've come to realize. Not only is our well-being at stake, though, but I believe change can put our salvation at risk as well. It can sway even the strongest mind, it would seem, from the truth. Yes, we know that the choices that we make factor into our decisions as well. But I would try to share what I was led to bring at this time regarding change. We creatures of very finite minds are often perplexed at times, it would seem, thinking that we have the answers to life's problems and trying to solve them alone at times. But how often we forget the real source of wisdom and knowledge and pursue a pathway on our own at times. Very often. Fortunately, there is a constant and an unchangeable source that we can turn to for guidance in those times. Our God, who knows our thoughts before we ever act upon them, he lets us wander and wander in our own way many times when we forget to turn to him. Perhaps we each have had those moments when things weren't going smooth in our life, but we forget. And we forge ahead, I should say, making bad decisions and realizing that we need to change something. Our course needs to be redirected, and we need to seek guidance from someone. Often we turn to a trusted friend, but not remembering that someone that we should be turning to is our Lord Jesus Christ as well. He is on call all the time for us. If we are confused, lost, or just unsure, it is in these times the prompting of that small inner voice often speaks to us, and it causes us to pause if we just take a few moments to pray and listen. I'd like to share just a brief testimony with you right now. While I was yet employed, and I was asked many times to travel to other cities on occasion to help some lingering computer problem that was my field, I felt unsure at times if I could prevail and help with their dilemma. But while I was traveling to any destination, I always prayed for guidance, that I might have insight as to what I needed to do when I arrived there. And without fail, I was always blessed. You know, I have found truth in that scripture, in that promise that we find in James 1:5, where it reads, if you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth men liberally. and it shall be given him. Never did a voice speak to me, unlike our brother Joseph, the prophet as a boy, when he had a dream, when he was confused by the conflicting voices of his day that surrounded him. He chose to test the same promise of God and sought direction in his day as to what church he should join. And he was told to join none of them, for they taught precepts of men. But this I do know, that I was directed many times in my daily work on those occasions when I didn't rely solely on my own understanding. And when I had doubt, I prayed for guidance, and I was always blessed, it seems. There is great wisdom that we find in the Word of God through prayer and study, but we're often slow to seek it out. Many times it seems that there are those who have sought it, but they haven't applied the wisdom when it was given. As we consider, for instance, the plight of our own church institution, to not seek guidance from the world, we were told in a revelation, but to be taught from on high, as we were admonished. But we see that the weaker things of the world became part of the culture, and how it became, our church became divided and splintered as a result. The writings of the great prophets of old and the apostles were all given through divine inspiration. And we should be grateful that these records were preserved throughout history for our day, for us. For they offer not only guidance on how we should live and solve the problems of everyday life, but they also teach us the pathway to salvation and eternal life as well. But not all mankind is willing to accept the inspired words that we find in the old and the modern day revelations. And why might that be the case? Could it be that they're just too steeped in the philosophy of men who believe themselves to be wise? Paul says to be wise unto the things which is good, and simple unto the things concerning evil. I'll let you be the judge on that. But men are often rest the scriptures at times for their own cause and purposes which seem far from the truth. We all can see this at work as we witness events unfolding around us and even being promoted today. We all know that God created man and woman, and this is quite clearly defined and recorded in Genesis, in chapter 1 and 2. Yet some would believe, and some believe in however you believe, and think that there are other sub-variants, for lack of a better word to describe it, and define man and woman. This has led to much confusion in the lives of many. Here we find the lack of wisdom in man. For this wisdom is not from above, that we find mentioned of in James, the 3rd chapter, 17th verse. Man has always allowed his mind to be darkened by the adversary, it seems. Today, we must ever be vigilant to not let those voices of confusion change our course, which will separate us from the truth that we find in the Word of God, and the one that we know that our lives should emulate, and that is Jesus Christ. In Nephi, 2 Nephi, I'd like to read that, what it says about that in the 12th chapter, the 39th verse. It says, Cursed be him, or be he, that putteth his trust in man, or maketh his, and maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we know that that is not always the case. We hearken unto the precepts of men at times, or we shouldn't, as we are reading here, if they're not being guided and directed by the Holy Ghost. We have to use our discretion, and hopefully our we have a degree of, where we understand what is true and what isn't. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, when God placed the spark of intelligence in each of us at birth, it was to benefit us as we would grow from childhood into adulthood, as well as to bring joy and honor and glory and praise to him. Yet we know that when knowledge and wisdom develops in man, he can easily forget where that brilliant mind and that spark of intelligence had its origin. I'm reminded of what we read and find written in 1 Kings about King Solomon, who reigned in Israel for 40 years. He prayed that the Lord would give him wisdom when he became king following the death of his father, King David. The Lord honored this prayer, and he became known as the wisest king to ever rule and reign. He led Israel to a great spiritual level that it had ever, highest that it had ever known. His kingdom amassed great wealth as well, and it was blessed, and the people became very wise under his leadership, and they hearkened to the voice of God, and all his subjects kept the law and the covenants that were given by God. He had spiritual dreams on how great he would become if he would remain faithful and serve that one true God and keep his laws. This he did for many years as he grew in favor with the Lord, and the Lord blessed him with great wisdom. But you know, with all the great blessings and wisdom that he acquired, he let change overtake him and take control of his heart as he grew older. His carnal nature would change his character, and it began to decline. Materialism and idolatry would also play a great role in his character as well. After all the blessings that he had been given as the king of Israel, he chose to begin idol worship and to build altars to pagan gods. He fell out of grace with God and the Lord, and his great kingdom would become divided. This is spoken of described in very great detail in 1 Kings. And his great kingdom would rise, but it also would fall over time. So we can see from this historical event that if we choose to entertain what the world offers with careless and unrighteous living, it won't matter how wise or how favored we are with our Lord, we can fall from grace as well. We then become prone to false teachings and false gods. Yes, our mind can be turned away from our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, as we find pleasures in worldly things. We are admonished to learn and seek wisdom, for wisdom is to be sought because it is of its divine nature and origin, and it benefits us in many ways. We find it described in the book of Proverbs very much so, very many instructions there about acquiring knowledge and wisdom. And it's replete with verses and statements which instruct us in many, many ways. We learn there how we should control our speech, about pride and humility, about poverty and wealth, and love and anger, and life and death, for instance. These are just to name a few. It touches upon almost all human interaction and relationships. It's timeless, the wisdom that we find there. Yet, yes, it is a blessing that we can develop our minds through study and learning. But we must not let pride and self-adulation become one of our degrees. We must guard against letting pride edge out he who is the source of our accomplishments. In 2 Nephi, in the 6th chapter, we find these thoughts. Beginning with the 57th verse. Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one. Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they're wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God. For they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore their wisdom is foolishness, and it profit them not, and they shall perish. But to be learned, it says, is good, if they hearken unto the counsel of God. But woe unto the rich, who are rich as to the things of the world, but because they are rich, they despise the poor and persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures. Wherefore their treasures is their God. And their treasures, they and their treasures will perish also. In the writings of I found in Brother Weldon and Brother Butterworth's book titled The Book of Mormon Deeps. It's a very interesting set of books, of three. A lot of interesting topics there. We find the following in one of his chapters, or one of the chapters there, that I would like to share. It's titled, Why Lettered Men Tend Toward Disbelief. King Benjamin wrote, this is from Mosiah, the natural man is an enemy of God unless he yields to the enticing of the Holy Spirit and put it off the natural man and becomes as a child. One of the speakers that Brother Butterworth writes about is a high priest. He was at a conference in Kirtland one time. He made the following statement and said that unless there is a spiritual breakthrough and well-grounded faith before higher education occurs, there's little chance of spiritual rebirth afterwards. This is one way of saying that the process of higher education adds more to the natural man and the difficulty of putting off the natural man afterwards. It was the common people, remember, who accepted Jesus in Palestine, not the wise, lettered rulers, high priests, and Pharisees, who they had too much naturalistic baggage. Jesus said that a rich man can hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. Could this richness also involve his intellect as well? We know and read about great nations that have grown and flourished throughout history because of enlightened minds that brought them into fruition. But they have also fallen as well when they forget the source of that gift of their enlightenment. And they put strange gods before our Lord. Consider Rome, for instance, and the pinnacle that it rose to in the ancient world, where family was highly revered, and the father was the head of that family. Education was valued and taught, and honored and respected. Culture prospered under this kind of thinking, and as a result, they became a very strong nation. Their achievements were unmatched, it would seem, as they became ruler of their known world, and they became wealthy. People from conquered nations also brought with them, though, unfortunately, change. Their influence came with them, and people that did not share the values of Rome began to change that once great culture that Rome possessed. People from Greece, for instance, became a great influence after its conquer. And together, with time, the evidence of these great cultures is now ruins and the world for the whole world to see. Here again, we see where great wisdom of man and their accomplishments came to naught. When they began to worship pagan gods and idols, once again God of the universe was relegated to a lesser role. So the lesson from history is this, that when any nation that turns its back on God, we know that, who is the creator of all, we know that our Heavenly Father, there will be punishment from him in some form. I wish to just deviate here for a moment, but there's also in our own church history, we go back to the time of the Nephites, and we see what happened to them when they were a prosperous, choice group of people for a while, but over time, They let the events of the day, I guess, and they chose to go their own way and practice all kinds of things that were unrighteous and, against the law of God, to the point of where, with great battles among them and the Lamanites, ultimately they became practically destroyed, and ultimately they did. The Nephite nation was ultimately destroyed, that we find mentioned of in the Moroni. He tells us about what happened there. He writes about it at the end time, the ends of the Nephites. He was the long last person of the Nephite nation alive to write these records. But he says along this line, he says, "Behold, Christ has shown you unto me, and I know your doings, and I know that you do not walk in the pride of your heart. And there are none save a few who do not lift themselves up in pride in their hearts." And why do you think that it's greater is the value of endless happiness than the misery which will never die because of the praise of the world. Why do you adore yourself or adorn yourself with that which hath no life? Yea, why do you build up your own secret abominations to get gain? So we know what the outcome of that was as we read the Book of Mormon. That the entire nation of that civilization, the entire group of people, the Nephites, and ultimately many of the Lamanites as well, perished. And they were once a very high civilization in the Central America region of the world. So we know that what happens when we do not adhere to the precepts of the Lord and follow the direction of the Holy Spirit and choose to go our own way. So I would say at this time, I don't wish to leave you with any idea that I believe higher education isn't important. On the contrary, we know mankind has been served very well by those who have dedicated their life to higher learning. Each of us have prospered, perhaps, and have been richly blessed in our own ways by someone or our own self dedicating ourselves to higher learning, perfecting skills through much effort of our own. But let us strive, though, to learn that only by staying in touch with that one who has wisdom beyond all understanding, who is our God and Lord Jesus, and remain clothed with humility, will be truly blessed and find favor with him, is my prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Harold. We will conclude our service by singing hymn 376, after which Brother Joel will bring the benediction. 376.
God, the Eternal Father, we thank you, Lord, that we've enjoyed this Sabbath day and coming together and worshiping you. I thank you for the words that our brother Harold has shared with us this evening, the reminder that you are infinite and eternal and you change not. We thank you, Lord, that you have throughout all the history of mankind that you've shared with the prophets of old, this guidance and direction that we as your creation are to follow those laws that have been established and seek after your kingdom. We pray, Father, for the people here assembled and those that could not be with us, but we pray, Father, that you'd go before us, that your Holy Spirit would be with us in our homes, that this week we might reflect often upon that which was spoken today, and that we might be about your business and being valiant in our testimony and standing in the stead of Christ and witness to others in this world of the hope that lies within us. We thank you, our Father, for all your many blessings. Pray that you go before us now. And we pray that your kingdom would come soon. And we ask these things in the sacred name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.